Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out in the backyard, and fire up that grill or smoker. We're still officially in summer. This is the last weekend of summer. When the 20th hits, we bounce into fall, but I'm already in fall mode, Bob. It's bird season. Deer season's coming up. We're talking tailgating. There's football, man. This all just smells like fall to me, man. How you doing? I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's
cooking?
Hey,
welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you, Jop. And it is time for some good sleeping again, because out of the truth.
Yeah.
The Nermaco compound, we have a lot of windows, and we live in the woods, and we love opening up those windows and letting that cool air come in. It's a little like camping.
Yeah, exactly. And but boy, do you sleep well, right?
And the songbirds are still around. It's not long from now that the mornings will be quiet.
Yeah.
And they all leave like the same day. You just wake up one morning, and it's like total silence.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Mother Nature's got a plan.
Yeah, yeah, she does.
And you know when she implements it, because they blow south in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen my hummingbirds in the last few days, so I think they're already catching a ride.
One chilly night, and they're like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody told me that they hook onto the back of a goose, and they'll hop free rides part of the way.
Well, there's enough of those flying rats around that they haven't left yet, so they must be going on their own this year.
But, yeah. Seems like they'd get tired of flying back and forth, you know? It's like, when are you guys really heading south?
Right, yeah.
It's the same flock, just went over north, and now it's going west. It's like,
right.
I don't understand that pattern. But anyway, this is supposed to be about grilling, not catching a free ride, because then we'll get into politics.
Yes, we will. But this past week, did you do anything fun?
Yeah, I was in Lancaster, PA, and I had a Lancaster is a really cool town, and it's actually got a pretty thriving economy and community. But my good dealer out there, Integrity Pools, carries our Arctic Spa line, and they had a big sale. I towed my smoker all the way out there, and I had to do like 65, but that Grand Cherokee got me about 20 miles to the gallon, even towing that trailer.
Cool.
Which was really cool. Yeah, I thought going through those mountains and tunnels and
so you must have done some cooking when you got out there.
I did. Gosh, we had a VIP party one night, and I did some nice brisket that I picked up at Sobey. I made some homemade jerky, which was really cool. They went nuts over the jerky.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because that's not something everybody does. And usually, I don't know if you did it this time, usually you make that with a big piece of chuck steak. Is this what you did that time?
I actually used sirloin.
Okay. Even better.
No. It was not good.
It wasn't?
I didn't care for the sirloin.
Why? Stick it should be chuck. More tender, isn't it?
It was just too lean. It did not have the flavor that chuck has that I was ready for. And I think I did kind of a schlockish version of some of my better brines, and I was a little rushed and didn't follow the recipe. And it was just, you know, the guys loved it. I personally didn't even eat it. It was like, yuck.
Well, if you are interested in making some jerky on your smoker, let's talk a little bit about the chuck roast, the one you like, and just real quick how you do that, because you can reference the recipes on thegrillingguys.com, our website, but just the cut of meat. Are you doing a thick chuck roast, a thin one? What's that look like?
Whatever they have in the meat case. You know, okay. I just buy some chuck, and traditionally I cut them into like 3/4 inch by 3/4 inch strips. The full length of the chuck. This time I had a sirloin. It was like about an inch and a quarter thick, and I just cut sort of straps out of it. But you want to make sure and brine it for a good period of time. And if you look on our website, go to the search bar and just put in jerky, you'll find lots of jerky recipes. There's one that I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I just happen to like them. It says Bob's Favorite Eight or Bob's Great Jerkies. It was just from a time when I got crazy and came up with a bunch of different recipes. And I honestly loved, and my family and friends loved all of them. So it's because I was researching a bunch and following old practices properly. Jerky's one of those things that you really want to follow your proportion levels properly on, because
especially
you're
of the
marinating.
Cure and things.
Yeah, you're marinating, and it has a big impact on the overall flavor profile because you are injecting or marinating in flavor. So I think it's really important to watch those levels, whereas a lot of times when you're cooking, you know, you'll grab a hand of this and a hand of that, and you know you're dialed in, but I'm just a little bit now more convinced that with jerky you have to be a little more scientific. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
The cure, you mentioned it. The right levels of salt, sugar. I use celery salt and sea salt for my cure. And then, of course, sugar for a balance. And then there's just so many profiles you can go with. You can take it in any direction you want.
Yeah,
I like it a little hot.
Yeah, you like it hot. I like it a little more savory. Maybe that sweet, salty teriyaki side is what I prefer more. You know, our friends over at Sobey Meats make great jerkies. If you don't want to mess around, do it yourself. You can roll over there and get them. Either way, it's just a great fall food.
Their jerky's awesome.
Yeah.
Their hillbilly jerky is one of my favorites.
Yeah, so this week, our friends at Barrick 616 had me over, and I did just a simple little, they had a cool little event called Guns and Golf, right, where they shot in the morning and then went out to the golf course and shot around in the
afternoon. Oh, is that where you're at the driving range and they shoot the ball as you hit it?
Well, it wasn't quite that, no, but pull, bang. But anyway, we had a nice little, just barbecue lunch that we put together for those guys. And but when you talked about marinating, I injected those pork butts, just tried it with cider. Sweet cider from the mill.
Nice effect.
Yeah, it gave a really nice profile, and it kept them a little bit moist. Yeah. So I was worried that the acid in the cider would have some sort of reaction because it was an experiment. I'd never done it, but it turned out fine. I think that, you know, when you inject there, and it's a hole going in, and when you pull it out, it there's a certain amount of it that can drain out of there as well.
I think the best butts I ever did, I took a couple of bottles of Jawjacker from Arcadia,
mm-hmm.
and I injected the butts with Jawjacker, and I'm not kidding you, man, the flavor that – because there's some allspice and whatever that...
That's like a pumpkin ale, right?
It is,
from
Arcadia
Ales.
Except there's no pumpkin in it.
Right.
It's a fall. It's supposed to be a pumpkin beer, but it's not real. Doesn't really have pumpkin. But the spice profile on that just made those butts just spanky.
Yeah, just a great flavor.
I did a bunch of butts out in Lancaster, too, and I did bitchin' beans. I remember to serve them. I didn't leave them on the smoker. but I'll tell you what, doing events back-to-back like that, I was the workhorse. Everybody else was having fun. Everybody from my company that flew in from Canada, they all had fun.
Yeah. Well, that Bob, hell yeah, he can cook,
the
man.
The gringo was at it, man. And by 10:30 at night, I was spent. And they all, being Canadians, want to go out.
Right, sure.
So what did I do?
I went out. Yeah. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk to our friend Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Always a pleasure when we can get Tim on the line because he's going to impart some great ideas about meat and how to prepare it and the cuts you might need. We're also going to have a treat today. Bob had another conversation with our friend Babe Winkleman. We're going to talk Midwest whitetails and maybe some fall walleye and perch with him. So you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you listening in. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor and get out in the backyard and fire up a grill or smoker. We might get a little wet early this weekend, I heard, but it's going to fare off and be a great time to get out in your backyard and do a little barbecue. Maybe tune up your bow or your crossbow because hunting season is on the way, Bob. What's going on?
It is, and I was in Allen Bob's this week, and there was a fella in there that bought a crossbow, and he didn't get it from Allen Bob's. He got it from one of the big box places, and I won't say it was Cabela's, but anyway, it broke right while he's tuning it up, and he's going, hey, can you fix this? And the guy goes, well, where'd you get it? And he goes, well, I got it at Cabela's. It was like half off. And he goes, well, you better take it back to Cabela's then, because, and he goes, yeah, but it was half off, and they said blah, blah, blah about the warranty. And there was another guy in there with the same scenario, and he's like, I need it fixed today, dude. I'm going hunting tomorrow. And there's like, you know, it's kind of the busy time of the year, so maybe you should have practiced a little earlier so you could break it earlier instead of waiting to the day you're leaving.
My crossbow's at Allen Bob's right now, getting a tune-up, just routine maintenance. You know what? Better safe than sorry. It's been a couple years since anybody looked at it, and I didn't even fire it. I just took it out of the case and went there and said, hey, guys, run through this thing.
That's the point. There, see, you're being smart about it. That's good management. That's exactly what you want to do. As a shadow rises up in our window in the studio, there's a window cleaner out there.
Yeah, so speaking about being smart about things, when we want to talk about meat, we go to one place and one place only, and that's our favorite butcher, Mr. Sobey from Sobey Meats. Tim, welcome to the Grilling Guys.
Hey, glad to be here. How you doing, Jeff?
You know what? I'm good, brother. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be out hunting today.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I guess Barbecue Bob gave you a call, and we wanted to talk a little bit about maybe the product of hunting. Isn't that right, Bob?
Yeah, I process my own deer, but I'm sure I do it improperly. And every time I do it, I get a little bit better. But I thought, why not just go to the meat master in Grand Rapids and get some tips on how to cut up a deer properly?
Well, here's a couple of the easiest things and one of the most basic. Once you've got it gutted, every magazine you open up, deer hanging by the head. Hang them up by the antlers or by the head. The arteries that are pumping the blood from the heart away, veins return the blood, they're designed. That's why any slaughterhouse you go to, the animal is always hanging head down. They're going to bleed out better.
And they actually have the head cut off as well, because then you've got a huge muscle exposed.
Yeah. And obviously, if you're going to do a head mount, a shoulder mount, things are going to be a little bit different because you don't want to destroy that. So you might lose some neck meat, you know, to save for that nice shoulder mount. But if it's a doe or an animal that you're not going to be getting mounted, certainly, yeah, get the head off. But once you get, you know, hang it by the back gambrels, you'll feel where that tendon is, or by the back legs, however you get it hung. get it opened up all the way up, open the neck up, clean everything out, and rinse them out with cold water. Yes, water will rot meat if it's left laying inside of it. So if you're open up all the way through, get the airway out, the esophagus, the trachea, and pat them dry, open them up. That is the single thing you can do to make a way better animal. If you're hanging them up by the head, all that blood is going to settle in the back hams, in that steak meat and back legs. And guys will say, boy, yeah, it tastes so gamey. Well, yeah, they're full of that blood.
Right.
So now once you got it hung down, get them skinned, and always cut from the inside when you're skinning the deer. Leave your knife underneath the hide and cut out, because you want to nick the hair as little as possible. Get it kind of rolled back, like up from the crotch, up the legs, peel it over the rump, and then keep the fur on the inside, the hide on the outside, and try to pull as much of that hide off instead of just slicing and cutting. And the fresher the deer is, you can rip that hide right off, slick as a whistle.
So, and, Tim, a quick question with regard to that is that, okay, we don't have a trophy. Let's go with that one. So when I shoot the deer, I got the deer, I brought it back to camp. What is the timing on this skinning and the timing on the rinsing out? I mean, that'd have to be done immediately, or do I wait the next day? What's your thought there?
The rinsing out immediately. And let's say you got warm weather and there's a lot of flies. You know, if you leave the hide on to protect that exposed meat, you don't want it to dry out, that'll be fine. Biggest thing is, deer are so well insulated, if they're not cleaned out properly, they'll actually rot from the inside out. They're so insulated. So to answer that question, yes, as soon as you get back to camp, hang the deer head down, get it opened up all the way, rinse it out with cold water, pat it dry, open that animal up so it can cool off, get it in the shade, and you want that carcass to cool as quickly as possible.
So what happens if it's early season and it's 60 degrees out when I get back to camp because I shot my deer in the morning and it's warming up to the low to mid-60s? Anything special I need to do there?
At that point, if it was mine, what I would do, I'd get back to camp. It's going to peel easy anyway. So I would go through, get it hung, hang it head down, get it all rinsed out, and I'd go right to skin it. And then we'll talk about that in just a second, portioning that out. And then you can take those chunks of meat, get a bag of ice, and get them cooled off.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jop and I just bought some these great big white 5-day igloo coolers. And you could put a human body in them. They're so big. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring that up to deer camp with a couple of big 20-pound bags of ice in it. And if I'm lucky enough to, and it's pretty easy to shoot a doe right off the bat. The first one's always a doe anyway. If it's warm out in particular, I'm going to have that thing skinned and quartered up and thrown in that cooler in garbage bags, and then throw ice on it and cool it right down. And then we've got, you know what, 10 days you can leave it like that if you had to?
I wouldn't say 10 days. I would say, you know, within a weekish or so, I would say you'd want to get that meat taken care of.
Yeah, you'd probably want to hang it before you tried aging it anyway. So.
Yeah, and, you know, venison doesn't age the same as beef anyway, because beef has the marbling that runs in the tissue. The deer species have tallow on the outside of the carcass. So where beef will get more tender, and there's certainly a lot more of that aging process that happens in beef, because that marbling, that the fat that's run through the muscles, they kind of break down as that bacteria growth is settling, and that helps in that tenderizing process. Venison species, the fat, that tallow is on the outside. So actually it doesn't tenderize as much in 10 days. Venison will not, as what beef does.
So it's not really worth trying to age venison.
If you let it go a couple of days, but to go a week, my opinion, I think it's better to take that fresh meat and keep it moving and get it packaged up, get it in the freezer for your steaks, the back straps, the tenderloins. And then the other meats you're going to put into sausages, get them boned out, and actually get those in the freezer. It's not going to matter what tenderness the sausage meat is because it's going to get ground anyway.
Tim, we appreciate your opinion and your expertise, your advice all the time. Thanks for joining us. That's Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats in Grand Rapids on Remembrance Drive. What's your website, Timmy?
It is Sobey Meats, www.sobeymeats.com.
Awesome. Thanks again, pal.
You bet. Have a good one. Happy hunting.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. That's good information.
Oh, it's great information.
I learn something every time I talk to that guy.
Don't you? I mean, he's just an absolute wealth of knowledge. Plus, you go over there and he's got literally 70 feet of meat case with every cut of everything you'd ever want in there, man. It's just a cool place. You guys have heard us talk about it hundreds of times, and we'll continue to because this guy and his operation are first class.
Good tips, especially if you get a doe right off the bat.
Yep. Coming up next, Barbecue Bob had a conversation with Babe Winkleman about a little bit of whitetail predictions and maybe a little fall walleye. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you, a pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
The good moon was rising this week, man. We had a full moon. I let the dog out, I think it was on Thursday night, and it was like reading the paper out there. You could have walked out in my front yard, man. It was clear, and the full moon was out, and it's like, holy cow, it never got dark tonight. But pretty cool anyway. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're just a couple knuckleheads talking a little bit about this and that, and hunting season's on us, so it's time to talk a little bit of hunting, right, Bob?
I think so, and if you don't have a good vehicle to get out in the woods with, I can tell you that Van Andel and Flickama has a load of Jeeps, and every time I go there, I see another Jeep I want, but it's kind of the ultimate hunting vehicle. That or a four-wheel drive pickup, but there's just something about a Jeep.
Sure.
We got four of them at our house
They
now.
Seem indestructible to me. You know, I've never owned one. I know you're a huge fan.
Yeah.
But
it just gets in the blood.
Right.
It's a cult thing. So I I had a chance to talk with Babe Winkleman earlier this week. He was headed off to do a filming in Canada. And I wanted him to be on today, but so I came into the studio earlier this week, and here's a little chat we had about whitetail. Hey, this is Barbecue Bob, and I came into the studio earlier this week because I have a very special friend who's going to take off on another expedition, and he wouldn't be available for a Saturday morning. So on the grilling line right now is the famous Babe Winkleman. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thank you.
Thanks to you, I now have an affinity for scotch.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, I guess, get you on because the fishing season is into a new phase, and everybody's getting their bows sighted in right now, and it's been a hot summer, and I'm just wondering how that's affecting the fishing and what your thoughts are on what the whitetail season's going to bring us.
Let's start with the fishing. There were frost warnings out for northern Minnesota this morning, last night for this morning. It's starting to cool his lakes down dramatically. Yesterday morning it was 40 degrees. We got a front width through again. We've been doing two or three fronts a week. It's just been insane. So it's in the first stages right now of turning the lakes over. It's not been real warm during the days here the last few days either. It has been prior to that very warm.
So if you're a perch fisherman, how's that affecting the perch?
It's going to affect everything until the lake gets rehomogenized again and mixed. And that's going to take probably, we got a reasonable wind today and cold. That's probably going to take a week. And I'm supposed to be filming tomorrow.
And where are you headed off to film?
In this particular case, not too far from Brainerd.
And that's Brainerd, Minnesota, for anybody who wonders. It's a cool town, very cool area, nice part of Minnesota. A lot of nice whitetail around there as well. So what are you seeing on your cameras, and what's your gut check on the whitetail mood right now?
I believe in the last week here, they've shed their velvet. So they're just finishing. The bucks kind of get into isolation when they do that. They crawl off. And it's like a few days to prepare, and then actually it takes about one day when the velvet starts to come off. Takes about a day for them to get it off.
So for those guys that are starting off your bow season in October, which a lot of places do, what might be a couple of tips you could give those folks for how to get into some nice bucks early season?
It just kind of depends. Our bow season opens this Saturday, and the forecast is for rain starting on Thursday night and raining Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday. Depending upon what it is, the best recommendation might be to stay home and wait another day or two.
Because they'll just be hunkered down anyway.
Well, not necessarily. But a lot of times during the front itself, depending upon how severe it is, yes, they'll hunker down. And oftentimes as soon as it's done, and that might be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it finishes and it stops. Those bucks oftentimes will move then. They'll come to a food source or move in the inner woods and browse. So it's going to be a weird weekend just because of the forecast. And we just got done with the front going through yesterday afternoon and last night. And we had another one through this last weekend.
But typically early season, there's a lot of leaves up. It's different hunting. What can you tell these folks that are wanting to get a good glimpse of a buck to position themselves properly and to just make sure that they're doing everything possible to get a shot?
Well, during this period, you know, when they lose their velvet, they get a little spooky. They get a little weird. I don't know if it's what it feels like to them, this whole process, because they've been growing them for months, you know, and it's been very tender tissue when they're growing, and then they harden, and then they finish. But I know it kind of puts them in isolation for several days to a week or so before you really see them. And what they do move mostly is at night. When they get out of this, and they'll be through it shortly, some of them may be now, you know, they don't all shed at the same day. But generally, all the mature bucks shed within about 3 or 4 days of one another, or 5 days maybe. The smaller bucks, it might be another week yet. Once they get done with this process, they're still looking for food. It's the rut period is too far off, so they're going to be coming to food sources. And they instinctively know that during the rut, food's going to be a secondary thing. So they try and pile on as much as they can right now.
So get yourself positioned as close to a food source like the edge of a cornfield or alfalfa field.
Yeah, if you've got food plots, and always play the wind properly, decent your body and your clothing and everything else. You have to do everything you can because they're so much better at the game than we are. It's impossible for us to comprehend that a deer can smell better than 100 times better than we can. We can't even think of that.
No. Imagine all the different things they're picking up. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're talking with the famous Babe Winkleman from Minnesota, and we're taping this a little early because he's headed off on another filming. And you film specifically, where can people find your various shows?
Well, the best way is to go to our website, winkleman.com. And just check. We run on a whole bunch of networks. We run on Destination America. We run on the American Hero Channel. We run on Pursuit Network. All three of those are national channels in America. We run on Wild TV in Canada. But then we also run in other places like Comcast out of Chicago, which gets into about 7 million homes. And Iowa and Indiana and Illinois and so forth. And Time Warner Cable in the state of New York. And Comcast Cable out Delaware, New Jersey, Rhode Island, that area. Time Warner again in the Carolinas and Texas corridor, etc. So there's a lot of different places, plus a bunch of local stations.
We had your lovely wife, Chris, on a few weeks back. And you were telling me yesterday that she just bagged a nice one. Tell us about that.
Yeah, not last night, but the night before, shot a nice heavy 6x6 bull elk out in Utah. She's out filming a show by herself, her and a cameraman. Got the show done. In that particular case, shot it with a rifle at 450 yards. And the perfect shot, one bullet.
She's ready to be a Navy SEAL, I think.
That's the thing about Chris and Carly. They absolutely are hardcore hunters and go after it hard.
If she's that good, I'm surprised you bagged her.
Well, that was kind of a mutual deal.
Well, listen, Babe Winkleman, it's always great to talk to you, pal, and best of luck on this season, and I hope to get a chance to see you sometime in the winter.
Okay, can I add a couple things?
Absolutely.
We have a brand new website coming out within the next week or week and a half, something like that. It's all mobile, tablet friendly, and everything else. There's going to be a ton of stuff on there. We also have a new Babe Winkleman app coming out, and that may very well come out next week already. There's stuff on that app that has never been on television, never been anywhere.
Send me the information on that, and I'll make sure and put it on our website and on our social media.
I'll do it.
All right, buddy. You take care and best of luck.
Bob, have a good morning. Good fishing.
Thank you. All right. Job?
Yeah, Bob, your conversations with Babe Winkleman are always just awesome. That guy is a world of knowledge. You know, he's lived a great life and so envious in a lot of ways of where he gets to go and what he gets to do. And he just seems to know so much about his craft of hunting and fishing. It's just cool to be able to connect with a guy like that.
Tough way to make a living, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm sure it might be, you know. Nobody's ever paid me to fish or hunt. But with all the recipes and the sauces and rubs and books and tapes and stuff.
They're living the good life, trust me.
Yeah, he's capitalizing.
I wouldn't say they live a lavish lifestyle, but their home is very large and very comfortable and very much Winkleman.
And very, very full of animals.
It is. Yeah. It's very much Winkleman.
Yeah.
Don't forget, it's that time of year to get your stormy gear going. And if you go to the Grilling Guys website, click on that link for Stormy Cromer, you'll hit right into their website where they have all sorts of great products for the fall and winter. And actually, I think if you played your cards right, you could probably order your stormy gear with a Grilling Guys logo on it. So you can send a message up there and just see if you can't get our logo, because they logo all our gear. And we have a new cool logo from Stormy, and it's kind of blackened, and it's going to look really
good.
It's
the same logo. It's just kind of a shadow effect.
Yeah,
of it. Yeah.
It's all dark. There's no colors in it, so it's all blacks and grays.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with a guy named Tim Bieber, who does one of the most fantastic things that I've ever been involved with. He's got a disabled veteran hunt that he puts together. You've seen pictures of it on our website. We participated in it 2 or 3 years ago, and we want to help this guy out, because when you listen to what he's doing, you're going to get behind this 100%. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. Come right back with us when we talk with Mr. Tim Bieber.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It is a revolution. It's a barbecue revolution, and you're right in the middle of it if you're listening to this show. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's revolving over there, buddy?
That's a good intro there, Jop. I like that. It is a revolution. Everywhere you go, you see barbecue coming up in the Midwest. I told you I was out in Pennsylvania, and I made brisket, of course, because that's my favorite thing to make, my favorite thing to eat, and sorry about the noise. We have construction going on outside, and it just probably sounds horrible over the radio. But those people, most of the people had never had brisket.
Really?
Out east, it's like lacrosse caught on out here from out east.
Yeah.
Barbecue's not really catching on yet out there. It's hardly even a – they were just gorging on it.
Sure.
They were gorging. And I had so many people say, you know, this is like the best meat I've ever had in my life. What? This is crazy. And it's like, yeah, you know, just get a smoker, dude. You can do it.
Right. Yeah. Slow, low, lots of flavor.
Yep.
Right. Exactly.
So one of my fishing buddies and Air Force buddies is on the live line right now. His name is Tim Beaver. And he's got a cool mission that we want to help him out with. So let's go to Timmy.
How we doing, fellas?
All right, man.
Hey, Tim, it's good to hear your voice again, man. So break this down for us. You're doing a noble act. We've been a part of it for a couple times. And, boy, this is something that just we feel so strongly about, the things that you're doing. So tell our listeners what's going on.
Okay, next weekend, starting Friday, the 23rd, and it's going to run through the 27th. We're doing a free veterans hunt, which has also been opened up to law enforcement since they've been getting such a bad rap lately. We just feel it's our way of saying, hey, we appreciate what you do. But what it boils down to is that we take vets out hunting, pheasant hunting for a day. It's five birds per guy that we put out in the field for them. We have excellent dogs to guide through the hunts for that. and allow people just to go out and have a good old time and think about something other than what they've gone through. Those that have seen the crap, this is a chance for them to just release, let go, have a good time, and have some good camaraderie and some good food with everybody else that's there. We're going to try this year, we're going to try and get us a helicopter to fly over and do a low flyover and possibly some aircraft doing a flyover on Friday. But with election year coming up, that could be tough to do. But it's all in all, it's a great time. We have everything you need. If you don't have a shotgun, we'll get you a shotgun. If you're a disabled veteran, we have power chairs to get you out. We even can stand a paralyzed veteran up so he can shoot in a standing position.
Yeah, Tim, I saw those. That was the most amazing thing I'd seen. They're like a little they got little tracks on them, and these things can go up to like a 50-degree angle without tipping over. And when the dog goes on point, they can hit a button on this chair, and it takes them from a sitting to a standing position so that they can shoot.
Yep.
For those that maybe don't have use of their extremities or what have you, just a fantastic piece of equipment. And the company that puts those out just lets you use these things for the whole event.
So, Tim, tell our listeners how they can help or participate.
Okay, we're looking for sponsorship. Monetary is the best way to do this. We've figured it's going to set us back $20,000 this year. It's $70. Per hunter is what we've got it broken down to. Once again, that gets each hunter 5 birds, a guide, a dog, and an all-day buffet. We're expecting at least 250 hunters this year. We acquired another 240 acres, so the preserve has grown, as well as our hunt has grown. This is our 11th year of doing this, and it started out with just 2 Vietnam vets 11 years ago. And
yeah,
it's grown to last year we had 175 people.
Well, Jop's a big beer hunter. Jop's a big beer.
Damn, he let the cat out of the bag.
He's a beer hunter and a big bird hunter, but he was pretty blown away to watch all these vets show up and get a chance to have some fun. And I was too, and I of course love all these any veteran event. You and I are Air Force brothers, but there's every branch there, and of course there's now the police, which is a great thought on your part. How can people donate?
They can go online to preservehunts.net. They can get a hold of Chuck Connor at Tail of the Wagon. That's the name of the hunt preserve that it's at. Or we can you can go through. We do have a web page. I'm hoping it's up and running. There's one on Facebook, Tail of the Wagon. There's a one of the guides, Kathy Birch, had went and set up a GoFundMe account through Facebook.
Great.
And,
that's called Tails a Wagon. They have a website, and preservehunt.org. You can check those out online, and you can donate. If it's $70 a hunter, if you could kick in $70 one more guy who's probably done something really great for you and you don't know him, nameless, faceless, but he's hurting or he's been hurt or he's just needing a little stress relief because maybe he carries some scars of war or... You know, there's plenty of veterans that didn't see battle that still suffer because their brothers are suffering. So any of the vets that show up, we want to help them out and give them some love. And what you do and what Chuck does and all the volunteers is really awesome. We met some great people up there. And if I wasn't going to be out in Toronto doing a barbecue, I would be there, brother.
You know, we got a barbecue sitting there waiting for you guys to come and burn some of these birds on, you know. We hope to see you back there again soon, you know. And as far as you know, spectators or volunteers, we're not going to turn anybody away.
Yeah,
somebody wants to come on up, if they can't do the monetary thing, but they want to volunteer their time, we are not going to turn you away.
Hey, you know what, Tim? I can make time to do that. I can absolutely make time to do that. You're up in Marion, Michigan, which is in the Cadillac area, correct?
Yes, we're just southeast of Cadillac.
Right, that's exactly right. I can't guarantee which day, but you're there Thursday through Monday?
I will be there. Yep, Thursday till Tuesday. I will be there.
All right, I will darken the driveway and show up, and I'll cook all the birds you want cooked, brother. Because this is okay. A great thing, and I'm happy to do it. Bob's going to be out of town, but I know I can get up there and make some time to help you out with that.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. And like I say, this is the 11th year we've been doing it. We're hoping to keep it going, and it just keeping getting bigger, and more of these vets that think that there's nothing out there for them can hear about this and come on up and see what we do. We encourage people to come and see what we do. That's the best way to get the word out.
Yep.
If you have a good time while you're there, you all enjoy it.
Okay, Tim, we are on a hard break. I didn't get to see you in Pentwater this year or Silver Lake. I mean, I miss you. So
yeah,
you're a good man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Hey, like you say, you get a chance to come on back. Just give us a holler, and we will get you out on the hunt. That is not a problem.
Okay, thanks so much, Tim.
All right, bud. Hey, you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, right. That's Tim Beaver. Good man, him and Chuck.
Good man. Time good for
work.
A little man law.
All right, today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan, home of the best pasty in the Lower Peninsula, bar none.
Right.
And I got a nice little text from Tony today with a picture of that smoker I got him, and he was just thankful that I got him into barbecue because he loves smoking butts and briskets.
Right.
So that's a cool place, good family. Today's Man Law, any dispute lasting any longer than 3 minutes will and must be settled by rock, paper, scissors. There is no argument too important for this determining method.
That noise in the background is not my stomach.
Now it's a hammer drill.
Yeah, now it's a hammer drill. They're beating on the outside of the building here. We apologize, but not much we can do at this point.
Nah, it's the slightest little hiccup. It's okay. So don't forget to get over to Snap Fitness and get signed up and get your fat butt into shape, because it is the place for a very small fee. You can get a Snap card like we all have, and you can swipe it in. You can go in and work out anytime you like, and you can start off with just the lightest little workouts. But I'll tell you for a fact that when you swipe that card and you walk in, the second you walk in, the endorphins kick in, and you'll be ready to get going. And the more you go, the more that effect takes place. And even if you fell off for a little bit, get back at it, because there's nothing better than a healthy body.
Well, and summer's done now, so you got time to do that. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We got one more little bonus segment for you, so stick with us. We'll be back.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Welcome back to the Grilling Guys. We got a little bonus segment for you here. We're fastly approaching the deer hunting season. We start on October 1st down here in this part of the state. And bottom line is you're going to get some venison, and there's a lot of things you can do with it. But one of the things that we want to talk about that may not be terribly popular, but it really produces a great result, and that is canning your venison. And Bob, I know you do some of this, so let's break this down for everybody.
Yeah, I got into canning a long time ago when my wife gave it up. She went on strike. She was canning my mom's famous bread and butter pickles, and then she just quit. So everybody panicked, and I ran to the rescue and picked it up, and it honestly, it's a lot of work. It's
yeah.
Really a lot of work. I did bread and butter pickles last week, and I know in 4 weeks I'll be incredibly happy to have some homemade bread and butter pickles again, because last year we went without. And I do asparagus every year. I do my own jalapenos. And this year I'm doing venison, which I used to help my mother do, and she was like the expert canner. So there's lots of cool things you can do. And if you want to pick up some of these tips, you can always hit us up at thegrillingguys.com and check out our different recipes and hit the research bar up on the top. And just punch in the keyword you're looking for, and I'll try and get some notes on canning venison. But it's really just like canning anything else, except with venison, the preparation of the meat is everything. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to cube your meat up. And then get your biggest skillet out, get some good EVO in there. I use Old World Olive Company's garlic for my venison. And I'm going to season that meat, and I'm going to brown it. And then I'm going to create a bit of a gravy. And I have no problem using a gravy mix in this case, adding some water and putting a little gravy in it, and then packing it in jars. And then I'm going to put those jars in my big canning tub, and I'm going to finish cooking them in there as they can. And I want to get those things up to a boil. And they're pretty much already cooked by the time.
Is the top open or is it closed yet? It's still open, right?
There's no top on it at first.
Right, okay.
And you're not going to fill them all the way up. You're going to get them about a quarter of the top is going to be open, because by the time you can them, that could be boiling, and you don't want it boiling over the lid. Because at some point, you're going to have to wipe those tops dry, and you're going to have to put your lids on and then
screw the ring on there.
Screw the ring on, and you want to make sure there's nothing on that glass when that clean, fresh, new lid goes on. And literally, screw that lid on, pull them out, and let them set, because it's so hot, it's going to seal it. And then as it cools down, it does the vacuuming process. But you can do several different profiles. And one of the things my mom used to do was she would do barbecue sauce in some of them. And talk about a wonderful way to have a quick, healthy meal. You just take, and I use the small jars for this because I like it fresh every time I use it. So I'll get the little quart jars, or what are they?
Six pint jars,
yep. Yeah. And put the cube meat in there, put the barbecue sauce in there, seal it up and pack it away, and you've got like instant barbecue. It's more like a beef barbecue, mm-hmm. than pork. It's actually better. That's a simple process.
But you can check this out on thegrillingguys.com. If you want to ask Bob any questions about that, they can get a hold of you how?
Yep. Well, you can go to The Grilling Guys and you can ask Jop or Bob a question there. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. You can go to our Facebook page /The Grilling Guys. Check in. Give us a like. Follow us, because we need friends.
We appreciate you tuning in this week. Be safe out there. Fire up a grill or a smoker. Enjoy this last weekend of the summer. We'll talk with you next week.